worship at 10:30. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Today, our guest is Mike Hill. Mike Hill is the former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida with the Florida House of Representatives. We're delighted to have him on. And as I've said so many times, as we listen to Mike and his discernment, his understanding of what is happening, I'm thankful that he's taken time out of a busy schedule to join us today on this broadcast. Congressman Hill, again, thank you so much for joining us. Let me ask you a question. We've had what I call terrorist attacks for the past several years, sporadically taking place. And each time I find it fascinating that the thugs with badges, as I call them, that the FBI in general, in particular, will always immediately say, this is not a terrorist attack. This is not a terrorist attack. Well, we had an attack in New Orleans with a vehicle being used, which has been used by the Islamic jihadists in European countries for the past several years. We've had that to take place a couple of times in America. And now, with these two almost back-to-back, with the New Orleans attack and then the one in Nevada, give me your thoughts and your insight for our listeners to understand. Why is it the FBI agent that was initially in charge of that case said this is not a terrorist attack? Tell me what you see. Is this something that we need to be concerned about going into the Trump administration? Will this intensify? Will this be something that will be allayed when Trump is sworn into office? Give us your thoughts on that, because I believe, my personal opinion, this is perhaps one of the greatest dangers facing the Trump administration and the citizens of the United States of America that is before us. That is the Islamic jihadist attempt to dominate the world, and America is in the way of their dominating of the world. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when they come out immediately and say this is not a terrorist attack, what they're trying to do is to cover their rear end, because if they were to say, hey, this is a terrorist attack, they are admitting that they have not done their job. Their job is to prevent things like this from happening, and that would admit failure, that, hey, we didn't do it. And that's what they should do. They should say, hey, this happened. It should not have happened. We're investigating. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Here's the interesting thing. They're saying, they always call it a lone wolf, somebody who's not acting in coordination with any others, which is not true, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, these attacks that we're seeing from ISIS isn't new. Obama helped fund and form ISIS. There was no ISIS before the Obama administration. Now, there were jihadists who wanted to commit terrorist attack. They've been around since their false prophet Muhammad started their false religion centuries ago, because their devil-worshipping book tells them that is how they are to spread their false religion, is through terror, through coercion, and not because, as the Christian religion does, because of your love for the Lord God Almighty and your love for your fellow man. That's how Christianity spreads. Islam spreads through terrorists, through death, through coercion. So when these Muslims do this, they are doing exactly what their book tells them to do. Now, the FBI is saying that this is not a terrorist attack, to protect themselves. This is what I believe, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, there have been other attacks which have happened during the Biden administration that we just don't know about. They were not high profile, and they were small enough that they did not gain a lot of attention, particularly national attention. But here's what's interesting. While Trump was in office, we had all sorts of violence that was taking place throughout the U.S. with Black Lives Matter, with Antifa, with ISIS, and with others. Violence not just in the U.S., but in the Middle East, around the world, we saw it happening. The Biden administration comes in, we haven't seen a single riot. The only thing we've seen, the only violence we've seen, are those on the left, the Democrats, who try to prevent conservative speakers from speaking on campuses, and the sympathizers to Hamas on these college campuses. And that was pretty much contained. Now, once Biden is out of office, they're starting to ramp it up now. Once Trump gets into office, I would almost guarantee you we're going to start seeing the violence get ramped up again, so that the Democrats can say, see, this didn't happen under our watch. Get us back in office, and we'll make sure this stops. That is the classic communist way of spreading. That's how they start. They start by creating violence that they are the ones who create. And then they'll say, hey, we'll save you from this. Just put us in power and it won't happen anymore. It's kind of like the mafia coming forward saying, hey, pay us protection money or else bad things will happen to you. And they're the ones who are causing the bad things. So I believe that's what we're going to see with the Trump administration. Once he gets back in, this violence is going to be ramped up again.
Absolutely. The thing, Congressman Hill, that I'm not worried about, but I have concern and consternation over, and that is that we have so many today that rightly so, that we are thankful to God for his divine intervention in the election to put President Trump back in office for the 47th president. But I think there are many, 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 even some of our listeners today, that with rose-colored glasses, they feel that because Trump is going in, all of a sudden, automatically, all of these devastating things will cease, desist, and no longer be prevalent. I think that is a wrong view. For example, for the past 2 years, the FBI agencies, Chris Wray and his office, has said that we can, quote, 2 years now, they've been saying that there are sleeper cells in America, that we can expect some type of terrorist attacks. And yet, when terrorism takes place and the attacks take place, then immediately they say, this is not a terrorist attack.
Right.
Now, with that being said, setting the stage, do you see a nexus between these two, the one in New Orleans and the one in Nevada? Is there a nexus? Because they're saying they're, as you said, they're saying they're lone wolves. But yet, tell us about what you see the nexus would be, the connectivity. For example, both military, both serving at the same time in Afghanistan, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that? Are these just lone wolves? Did they have a collaboration? Were they sent by ISIS? Were they just simply ISIS sympathizers? What, in your humble opinion, caused them to, at this juncture, rise up, stand up, and commit the atrocities that they've committed?
Well, in my opinion, Dr. Youngblood, I think they are related, and the reason being is the timing of it. They happen too close together for it to not be related. And then knowing the background of these gentlemen, yes, I think they were given the go-ahead. I think others were also given the go-ahead. They may have been thwarted, or they may have just chickened out. You know, they said, hey, I just don't want to die right now. Both of those men knew they were going to die. They knew that. And so there could be others, as the CIA calls these sleeper cells, and they just could be cowards. They said, I don't want to die right now. And so they didn't do it. There probably were more that were supposed to have been done, which just did not take place. But I would say definitely these are related. And then with Mayorkas and the Biden regime allowing in all of these military-aged men over the past 4 years, we're talking 20 million, 30 million illegal aliens who have entered into this country, that you can't tell me that there aren't going to be more attacks from these people coming from all over the world, including the Middle East.
Absolutely. And with the sleeper cells that I know that the FBI and the CIA and all of our intelligence operations, including the DHS, are familiar with, my position is, and you jump in and give your thoughts, my position is, if the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, the CIA, et cetera, have already said that we have sleeper cells in America, and they know that, then that means they know who they are, where they are, what they're doing. If that is the case, why was this allowed to go forward? Why was it not stopped at the root of it? And with that being said, the other additive to that, we find that across America, with all of the prestigious universities and colleges in America, they're eaten up with the Islamic jihadist mindset, waving the so-called Palestinian flag, demanding that the Jews be annihilated, demanding that Israel be wiped off the map. I see Trump walking into a major, major, major set of circumstances. I use the term, Congressman Hill, you intervene and give your thoughts. I see Trump entering into office with the Middle East on fire, with China rising every day for domination economically, militarily, et cetera, et cetera. I see the Ukrainian war still going, raging. I see North Korea coming into the picture, assisting Russia with carrying out the battle. I see all of the global players, including Iran, that's all coming together now, cohesive, coalescing and becoming cohesive with a single approach of undermining, tearing down, and destroying America. So Trump has a mega, major burden that he must work with and work through. And you touched on a little earlier about the Democrats going to be against everything that he does. I think they're going to continue to use lawfare. I think they're going to continue, as Raskin has said, prepared to petition the U.S. Supreme Court to stop the inauguration. I believe we're going to find when Trump goes into office, in my opinion, he will be ready to sign hundreds of executive orders to set the pace. But I'm fearful of what we see in the House and the Senate. In fact, I listened to one of the senators, John Thune, president of the Senate, coming in. John Thune said that we're hopeful to get President Trump's appointees approved by April or May. We will lose 3, 4, 5 months of running Trump's being able to run ahead to get the job done, if that's what takes place, as far as waiting 3, 4, 5 months to approve them. I'm concerned about all of those things coming together. So I'm building the case of saying, and what your take on it, I believe that as Christians in particular, we need to increase our praying and thanking God, number one, for his intervention. But my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, according to Scripture. And I want our listeners to understand, we can't place our hope and trust in man, though God has given us, I believe, a man with a backbone, a spine, and the wisdom that God gives him to carry out the task of setting things right in America. But I don't want our listeners to think that somehow, some way, on January the 21st, the clock's going to change, everything's going to be right, and we won't have any problems. What are your thoughts? What are your additions or deletions from what I've just said?
You're right on target, Dr. Youngblood. Evil, the enemy, and I'll include in there Democrats, are not going to give up just because President Trump won. They're not going to say, oh, well, they won, so we might as well just lay down. No, they are going to intensify their attacks. That is how evil operates. It does not play fair. It does not play by any rules. It plays by to win at all costs necessary. That's how Satan works. That's how the left works. That's how Democrats work. Trump is going to have a difficult time. And as you say, we can't put our faith and trust in any man. I agree with you wholeheartedly that God intervened and brought Trump to the presidency, but we can't put our trust and faith in him. Man will disappoint you every time, and I don't care who that man is. You're going to be disappointed. So what we have to do is put our full trust and faith in the Lord God Almighty and pray through his Son, Jesus Christ, who intervenes for us, and asking for his grace and mercy on this nation. I think Trump is going to move quickly. When he imposes tariffs on China, it is going to cripple their economy, which is already on the verge of collapsing. He almost took them under his first 4 years, and that is why China was instrumental in helping steal the election in 2020. I think Trump is going to come back in again and put them in a economic position to where they're going to have to back down from their global positioning, including wanting to control the Panama Canal. I thought it was a brilliant move on Trump to announce and say, hey, we're taking that canal back.
Absolutely. Very brilliant. Congressman Hill, hold your thoughts for a moment. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. I'm sorry. I'm joining this conversation so late because it's very critical. As Mike knows from his time in the Air Force, and I think he did substantial survival training in the academy, he knows what PSYOPs are, psychological manipulation. And for all that's been said so far today, what we're witnessing is that intentional actions by the Democrats with their venal cohorts who are directing them in the technologies that they're using to enrage a certain percentage of the American population, of which I am one, and you two gentlemen probably are also, men who stand for righteousness and want to see good things happen in the country in accordance with the wonderful Bible that God gave us that we're going away from rapidly, courtesy of the, as I call them, pardon my French, damnedocrats. There is an attempt in the next 14 or so days to whip this nation into a frenzy so that, in my humble opinion, be careful, here it comes, we can have social chaos break out before the inauguration, and there can be a premise for, oh no, this man is crazy. We can have a form of martial law declared that will totally disrupt the normal transfer of power. Now, a crazy man says that, I'm crazy. But I think that's where we're heading, and it's actually nothing more than a projection of what you gentlemen have already said. And Mike's problem is he didn't go to pilot training after getting out of the academy, and he would have been a little smarter if he'd done that. But I agree with everything else you said about him. Mike is an exceptional man and one that we need to listen to very carefully, as we need to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Now, I know you're running out of time, but I wanted to get in and make this one final comment. I have a very substantial personal library. I'm sure that Mike was, I don't remember how long he was in, but he may have gone to Air War College. But if he didn't, he'd recognize the names that I could repeat if I hadn't forgotten them driving in the car. But I pulled a book off my shelf the other day called The Year of the Rat. Now, it's not calling Clinton a rat because that's what it's about, though he is. But The Year of the Rat is one of the cyclical Chinese years, like the Year of the Horse, the Year of the Rooster, whatever. But if people can find that book and read it, you will find that Joe Biden just replicated exactly what Bill Clinton did for the 8 years that he was in. In that last 2 years, he did things that Biden is doing right now and has done. The connection to the Chinese is irrefutable, and the Chinese are masters of psychological manipulation. Ask anyone who was a prisoner of war during the Korean War. The techniques that the Chinese had that even the Nazis had copied before that. We are being manipulated as a nation into a mass rage so that whatever they're planning to do within the next 2 weeks will be very, very effective. Now, I'm going to shut up, but what I just told you, no matter how crazy it sounds, is where I think we are. And Mike's already suggested the fact that they're trying to whip us up for some reason, and we, as yet, have some unknown event immediately ahead that just may have something to do with the picture of a Elon Musk vehicle exploding, as it turns out, harmlessly, except for the man who supposedly shot himself and was in the seat in front of a Trump Tower. There's a message that somebody wants to send in that, that we're missing it. All right, I'm done. I appreciate your patience. Thank you. God bless both of you gentlemen. Over and out.
Marshall, thank you so much for taking time to intervene and give us your thoughts on that. Congressman Hill, I'm going to ask you to take a few moments and give some response to some of the things Marshall said and your insight on it.
Well, I'll have to correct Marshall on just one thing. I did go to pilot training. I didn't finish pilot training because I got sick every time I flew the jet, but I did go to pilot training. But he's absolutely right in terms of the psyops that is being perpetrated on the American people right now. And I would go on to say this. We would be in dire straits. We would be in big trouble unless we had the Lord God Almighty with us, upon whom we could call and ask for protection, grace, and mercy. Without that, we're done. But and I think the scenario that you mentioned in terms of how China's operating and how others who are trying to upend this nation, which, by the way, is nothing new. There has been a battle of those who did not want our Constitution from the very beginning. Even in the Revolutionary War itself, we had the Whigs and the Tories. There are people who were against us, but we prevailed. We went through, and there has been a battle every single... Woodrow Wilson was the first Democrat president who rejected the Constitution completely. He went against it. He thought that the presidency should be operated more like a monarchy, and that's what he tried to do. He implemented some things that we are still paying for now, including the Federal Reserve and the income tax, thanks to Woodrow Wilson. But what we have to do in these next few days and the next 4 years is to recognize that we have an enemy before us, but as long as we keep on the full armor of God, we will be victorious.
Putting on that whole armor is the key element. When you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, and I believe, Congressman Hill, many, if not most Christians are awakened each morning. They fail to put on the proper armament for the war. Multitudes of Christians do not recognize that we're in a hand-to-hand conflict, a hand-to-hand battle, and it's a daily thing. And we need to be armored up, fully ready for the battle that's before us. And one of the key elements, and I believe you will agree with this, one of the key elements for the Christian's battle is that we must recognize the enemy and dress accordingly so that we might do battle with the enemy. The Apostle Paul said in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, having done all, stand. That's after we put on the whole armor. We dig in the heels. We don't run. We don't turn. We don't sit. but we stand and continue to do battle. Most Christians today, I believe, and multitudes perhaps of those that are listening at this moment, feel that somehow, some way, the switch has been flipped. Donald Trump's going in office. Everything's going to be okay, not realizing that we're entering into, I believe, a phase of absolute intensification of the spiritual battle. And it's a battle not just for individuals, but it's a battle for the soul of America. It's the battle for the future of our nation. And therefore, we need to be armored up, ready, and be willing to face that battle. And with that, I need to say this and get your take on it. The intensification of the Islamic jihadist move to dominate the world. Islam has historically, for centuries, they've been incrementalist. They will take one little group, one town, one city, one state, etc. We're witnessing that taking place around the globe. In particular, we're witnessing the rising up of the Islamic jihadist in America. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, hundreds usher in the new year at Times Square by calling for Intifada against the Jews. Members of the crowd, many wearing kifas and face masks, chanted, "There's only one solution, Intifada, revolution." And that is the thing that I am so concerned about in the early days, in particular the next few days. Congressman Hill, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Wrap up this broadcast with a challenge to our listeners. In Ezekiel 33:10, he said, "How should we then live?" So knowing what we know, knowing what we're talked about, how should we live as Christians today?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, you mentioned that full armor of God and getting up and putting it on every day. I would say, Dr. Youngblood, we should never take it off. We should keep
You're
that
right.
armor on 24/7. That is our protection. That is how we battle. When we stand, we press forward. We press towards the mark, towards the high calling of Jesus. That is what we are to do as Christians. Press forward with that full armor of God on, knowing that you can't fight and win that battle on your own. We must do it in the strength of the Lord.
And the strength of the Lord means we're living a life of surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and recognize that our victory is rooted in our faith, not in man, but in our faith in God. And yes, I believe we should expect troubles and perilous times before us. I believe we need to recognize God's hand in our lives. And I believe we need to remember in Romans 1:17, the Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." So that's the key to our life and living. Congressman Hill, thank you so much, and God bless you. And may I wish for you and your family a happy new year. And God bless you, and thank you for taking time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.